Thank everyone for coming out tonight. It's good to see the number that we have this time of year. Of course, always a big travel year. So it's good to see our visitors. Always good to see John and Aaron and Hillary when they're and the kids when they're able to be here. So we appreciate their attendance here tonight. This is going to be one of those typical, what I like to call a Sunday night lesson. Sunday night, that's generally when it's just us. It's just the members. It's not going to be a lesson to try to teach anyone how to obey the gospel, but a part of also what we do when we stand in the pulpit, that is to encourage and to uplift and to edify. And that is going to be the hope and the aim of what I'll be trying to do this evening. If you want to be turning in your Bibles, do so to Psalms, the 34th chapter. And we're pretty much going to be there tonight throughout the course of the study, or at least for part of that chapter. I guess the title would be When Trouble Comes. Go ahead and read the first four verses of Psalms 34 as a way of text. This is a psalm of David, and he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Now, King David had a lot of problems, as we do. Many times there are things that we can do to correct the problems that we encounter. Some have health issues, health problems. But you know, this is really a wonderful age that we live in. We hear of some people that they have vision problems, but they can go to the doctor, have an outpatient laser surgery, and come out of there with 20/20 vision. There are some who have financial problems. Some folks are able to solve these problems easily enough. They can be somewhat shrewd when it comes to business. But many of our problems that we have, much like David, are problems that we've brought upon ourselves. When people find themselves in these problems, we generally look to blame someone else. See where we can, as the phrase goes, pass the buck. Rather than accept responsibility for these problems, sometimes we even go as far as to blame God. I've heard from childhood, as have you, as we've grown up, and maybe even more so nowadays because information is so much easily accessible, about how our bodies need nutrition, rest, exercise. And sometimes we have a tendency to deprive our body of these things. A lot of times when you live in this area of the country during this time of the year, it's really kind of hard to, with the holidays and the meals and things such as that, and exercise is not really easily accessible. We can't go run maybe like we want to. So we deprive ourselves of these things, and sometimes it can even lead to serious health problems. And sometimes we ask ourselves, or we see things on the news, and we ask ourselves, we can't understand why God would allow these terrible things to happen. And we start reading books on how bad things happen to good people. We talk about this in our class downstairs quite a bit, because we're studying about different denominations and different religions down there now, and how you teach them and how it's getting more and more difficult to teach people today, because a lot of people will just go from the standpoint of, well, I'm a good person. And, you know, not to be mean or not to be rude or anything like that, but what are you basing that standard on? I mean, who are you comparing yourself to that you consider to be a good person? See, because if we are comparing ourselves to the standard, God, then we're not very good. So that there's a problem with this good, bad things happening to good people. Is really, if we're measuring ourselves by the right standard, we're really not all that good. But we don't want to take any responsibility for the problem. Just we pin it all on God. It's somehow His fault, or it's somebody else's fault, which it is also kind of interesting as a side note. Satan never gets blamed. He never gets blamed. And he's at the root of it. People that smoke cigarettes find out later that they have lung cancer or some terminal disease, but they refuse to take responsibility. Why, it's those people who made the cigarettes. And it's those people who sold me those cigarettes. It's their fault. People who eat the fast food places get high cholesterol, become overweight, facing heart attack and stroke. They don't want to take the blame. They pass the buck to McDonald's for selling them the food. But nobody from McDonald's was dragging them in there. Nobody told them to supersize it. They were asked if they wanted to, and they said yes. But it's McDonald's fault. King David had a lot of problems, and he brought them, most of them, on himself. But David began to recognize that he was the problem. Generally, when that happens, when people begin to recognize that they're the problem, there's some hope for them. With all the problems that David was having, we want to examine how he began to get his life straightened out. And this is something that every one of us should do when life seems to cave in on us. The first point tonight that I want us to look at is, let's look at David's praise. Let's go back and look at the first two verses, Psalms 34, verses 1 and 2. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. Notice the word all. I ask that sometimes in the class when we talk about, when we see those passages that say all, what does that mean? Is there anything left out with all? He was saying that he would bless the Lord at all times. You know, some folks don't have a hard time blessing the Lord when, or praising the Lord when He's showering them with blessings. But when things get rough in their life, they don't have very much good to say about God or really anybody else. When hard times come, they start looking for someone that they can blame their problems on, because they certainly aren't to blame. Men and dads, sometimes we can be the worst. We can be lost on a trip, and we will never or very seldom ever say, I'm lost. Looks like we're going to have to ask for directions. No, it's the stupid road signs that mess me up. Or it's that bad map that caused me to be lost. Or that GPS told me to turn right and there was no right. If we're ever going to recognize that we need to get the help we need, we're going to have to recognize that we are a lot of times are the ones at the root of our problems and to stop complaining about it. You ever notice that many professing Christians never seem to grow in the Lord? Why is that? It's because they never realize that their problems are solved by solutions and not by complaining. I mean, we can gripe and grumble till we're the old proverbial, till we're blue in the face. But the best thing to do to turn the negative into a positive is to begin to praise the Lord. David sought the Lord in praise. Psalms 119, 164, he said, 7 times a day I do praise you because of your righteous judgments. Do you realize how much better life would be for us if we stopped to praise the Lord 7 times a day? How about once a day? How about 3 times a day? 7 times a day. The best way to approach the Lord is with praise. Anyone can complain, and let's be honest, we're pretty good at it too. But we have more to praise God for than we do to complain about. David not only praised God in Psalms 34, but he sought others to praise him. Verse 3. It says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." Look at that word, magnify. Now, we all know what a magnifying glass does. It enlarges something. God is pleased when we go around each day and we walk around making him bigger than anything else in our life. God's very displeased when we go around belittling him before a lost world. There are some people that when problems come into their lives that you would think that God is dead. It's absolutely disgraceful the way that some people will go around griping and complaining and bellyaching. When problems came into the life of David, he not only praised the Lord, but the Word of God tells us that he encouraged others to magnify the Lord. Raise your hand if you like to be put down. Anybody? God doesn't either. Some people will never learn that the more you stir trash, the more it stinks. When problems confront us, we need solutions. Solutions solve problems. Now, that sounds easy. And you might say, well, yeah, of course, duh. David knew that success only comes when people face problems and they look for solutions to solve those problems, but there are some people who cannot comprehend that. You can tell them over and over again that problems are only solved when you have a solution and a good solution. You can tell people this, but it's like saying one thing and them hearing something different. The story of a man who knew that the next day was going to be his wife's birthday. And he asked her what she wanted. She said she'd like to be 6 again. So the next morning, they wake up, he kissed her on the forehead, wished her a happy birthday, and he took her to an amusement park. When they arrived, he took her on every ride they had. She was getting dizzy from all the rides. He fed her hamburgers, pizza, hot dogs, everything that he could buy, as if she were a six-year-old child. He took her home that night, and she was so worn out from the day that she fell into the first chair that she came to. He said, "Did you enjoy being six today?" She shook her head and gave him that look that all wives give to her husbands and said, "I meant dress size." Some people do not understand that success in life only comes when we find the right solution. When we face difficult times, we complain to others as if that will take care of the problem. But all the complaining in the world really won't do any good. In the midst of his problems, David began to focus in on God and he began to praise him. And instead of getting others to join in and to gripe and complain with him, he encouraged others to praise the Lord with him. So we looked at David's praise. Let's also look at David's prayer. Let's pick up verse 4 and read down to verse 6. "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Anytime the Lord hears our prayers, we should be most grateful. But especially when we face those fearful times in our lives. David said, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears." Notice two things that David said that the Lord did. He heard me. He delivered me. It is simply amazing what the Lord can do if people will call on him in prayer rather than complain all the time. Regardless of the situation that we find ourselves in, God can help. We can be in a situation that might require a miracle, in quotations. But God can provide such a miracle if we call upon him. Keep your place there in Psalms 34. But let's go to Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3 and look at the passage that Jeremiah has for us there. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." That's the miracle in quotations that I'm referring to. We looked at David's praise. We looked at David's prayer. Now, let's examine David's protection. Go back to Psalms 34, look at verse 7. "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them." Problems in life, they can surround us, and they do. But the good news is that the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him and delivers them. Many times we are surrounded by problems, much like David. But David said, God delivered him from all his fears. He began to praise the Lord. He began to pray. And we see the protecting hand of God around him. Let's again look at verse 7. "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. And the last point tonight, David's proclamation. In Psalm 34, David was knee-deep in trouble that he had brought on himself. He started off praising and praying. And now the God he serves has become bigger than any problem he has. He can do that for you as well. God has become so real that David wants everyone to know about the great God that he serves. Look at verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. You can tell when God becomes precious to a believer because they want to share Him with everyone they come in contact with. That's what David is doing here, even in the midst of some great travails in his life. Let us remember tonight, and preachers or those who attempt to preach as I am doing tonight, they like to use alliteration. Let's remember David's praise, David's prayer, David's protection, and David's proclamation. There may be someone here tonight who is subject to the gospel call. As I said, this was not a lesson to teach you about becoming a Christian. But we want to offer up an invitation, because we never want to leave an opportunity at the door for someone who wants to obey the gospel. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you have the opportunity tonight to make known to us, come forward, repent of your sins, to confess His name, make that good confession that He is the Son of God, and to be baptized into a watery grave of baptism where you come in contact with the blood of Christ that cleanses you from all your sins. You can be raised to walk to a new life, as Romans 6, 3 and 4 talks about, and begin that journey with God, the journey to heaven, being saved because of what He did for you on the cross. For those here tonight, and again, that's the majority of us here tonight who have already done that, because it is just us here tonight. If there are issues in your life that have caused you to sin and have separated you from God, you have that opportunity to make that known to the congregation. We'll pray with you and for you, and you can leave here tonight once again in that right state with the Heavenly Father. If you need to respond to the gospel call tonight, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing.